If you're looking for something, if you're looking for something to soothe.
Bob, you're echoing. He's in the echo chamber. He's in the echo chamber, Bob is. He'll be all right. All right. Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. My next guest, Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. Tom, good news. I read today from the IPCC that we have until 2030 now to cut back carbon emissions before the end of the world. So I guess that's a good way to start today, Tom. We're going to live.
Yeah, exactly. Although they're saying that we're going to have to start purposely removing CO2 from the atmosphere, or we're going to have a crisis. And, you know, this is kind of scary because, indeed, CO2 is plant food. If you take out too much and we get another glacial period and CO2 drops naturally, we could end up in trouble.
Well, yeah, the whole world could come to an end. Chicken Little could be right. Ah! Okay, I'm better now. I'm better. I just had a moment there, Tom. I've done a lot of reading on the statistics of hurricanes and tornadoes, and of course, there's a hurricane coming today that looks to be a pretty strong storm that could wreak a lot of damage. It's not unprecedented, though. It's happened before. It's happened to this region before. But wait till the news anchors get their hands on this. It'll be more evidence of doom and gloom. And then the Canadians think that global warming is causing more tornadoes. But if you look statistically and at the number of tornadoes, we've had some of the quietest years, record-setting quiet years for lack of tornadoes of the last decade. The math is the math, right?
Yeah, exactly. And in Canada, we're fortunate in a way because the buildings that we build are very, very strong because of the cold weather. So our tornadoes don't cause a very high number of fatalities. The greatest number of fatalities from a tornado in Canada was in 1912 when 28 people were killed. But, you know, you see other countries where thousands of people die due to tornadoes. So in Canada, while we've had much worse tornadoes than we had back in September, we haven't seen a lot of fatalities, which is a good thing.
Yeah. You know, the fact of the matter is we have better warning systems now, but truthfully speaking, you know, we have better ways to detect tornadoes, figure out their intensity, whether it's an F1 or an F5. We can figure that out. Less F5s than we've had in decades. The early 1970s were really wicked for tornadoes. We haven't had an intensity like that in a long time. And you have to wonder, going back 50 or 80 years, how many tornadoes went undetected or unclassified because they didn't have the technology we have today. So we have better technology now, and still the numbers are plummeting.
Oh, yeah, and it's also because of population density. I mean, a century ago in Oklahoma, you could have a tornado, and perhaps nobody would see it. Whereas now there's so many more people with cell phones recording them that we have a much higher incidence of low tornadoes, weak tornadoes in some places. And at the same time, you know, the stronger ones, as you say, which we probably would have seen a century ago, appear to be dropping. So, you know, it seems to be more based on the idea that more people are seeing them, therefore there supposedly are more, but probably not.
Right. So how do you push back? I mean, you do this every day. And you've got statistics, and I've got research that I did using facts from Michigan State University, going back to extremes in Michigan weather, for example. The hottest days, the hottest years, the coldest days, the coldest year, all of those things, right? And you find, historically speaking, that much of this is decades ago. You know, the 1930s were the hottest in Michigan, not 1998, not 2005. I mean, I've got the numbers, you know, from... And the math doesn't have emotion, right? The math doesn't lie about something. And now if we had hot years, sure. We've also had cold years. The winter of 2013-2014 in the eastern United States was the third coldest on record. And yet they forget to tell you that.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Baffling to me.
Well, I think one of the things is you have to give them an incentive to want to find the climate scare to be not real. And if you show them, of course, that if you're taking the steps that the IPCC were recommending on Monday, which is to have more and more alternative energy and to get rid of your least expensive form of electricity, which is, in the United States, usually coal, that, in fact, the electricity prices soar, and this really hurts the poor. And so, you know, for social justice warriors on the left, people who say they are concerned about the poor, if you show them that the consequences of continuing on the route that the IPCC are promoting and the climate people are promoting, that indeed we're going to be hurting the poor more than anybody, you would think it would make them take a step back and say, well, do we really have to do it then? And of course, the answer is no. fossil fuels have been a boon to mankind. And in fact, on Friday, the non-governmental International Panel on Climate Change put out a new report about fossil fuels just 3 days before the UN report.
Sure.
And, you know, it's really, if you go to heartland.org, you can see this new report. It's the summary for policymakers for a 1,000-page report that is coming out probably in December. And it basically says that, yes, fossil fuels have been an incredible benefit. And the idea that we're causing dangerous climate change, that is just not there.
And that's coming from who? From where?
Well, Heartland actually are one of the publishers. So are CO2 Science, and so is the CEP, this group out of Arlington, Virginia. These three nonprofits actually brought together thousands of scientific references and, along with their experts, wrote a report which specifically details the alternative evidence. The evidence in these thousands of peer-reviewed studies show that much of what the UN is saying is just simply not true.
Tom Harris here, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. It is important to note this week that as a result on the war on coal, which was initiated in full-throated attack by Barack Obama, one of the oldest coal companies in America has filed bankruptcy. As a result, the Westmoreland Coal Company, they have $1.4 billion in debt amid declining demand for the fuel. They're based in Englewood, Colorado, but have big operations in Montana and around the West. They are going to restructure. They will probably be all right, but that they joined Peabody, Arc Coal, Alpha Natural Resources, other big coal companies that have filed Chapter 11 protection here in the last couple of years. At any rate, I'll give you the last word, Tom.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is the consequences of the climate scare are deadly. I mean, it basically means that you get rid of your least expensive form of electricity, and that is something that should concern everybody. Because if we were to follow the Paris Agreement right to the letter, people are saying that, you know, we'll be returning to conditions, you know, living conditions like the 1800s, and that would result in undoubtedly the death of millions of people around the world because we wouldn't have enough food.
Yeah, energy poverty is a bigger concern than climate change to me. Tom Harris, thank you so much as always.
Okay, thank you.
There you have it. This part of the program brought to you by Wolverine Water Systems, Michigan's premier water treatment company. Serving Michigan since 1947, locally owned and operated, Wolverine delivers statewide. Get your free water test today by going to WolverineWaterSystems.com. You tell them Steve Gruber sent you over.